Okay, so let's get started. Good afternoon, everyone. It is my honor to have chance to talk about one open source project from China. First, let me introduce myself a little bit. My name is Ian. If speaking in the Apache way, one hat I'm wearing is I'm a software engineer from Alibaba, one of the largest internet companies in China. And the other hat I'm in is I'm also one of the maintainers from Double Project. And Double is the topic we are to talk today. I will explain what Double is and how Double works. If someone is wondering what Double is and Google it, the first result popping up is an Australian city. This is not Double we are to talk today. But today's Double does have one connection with this city. Alibaba's engineering team has one convention to use the worldwide cities as a code name, and we chose the Double City for our RPC framework. Double is a Java-based RPC framework, open sourced by Alibaba in 2012. It is very popular in China's Java community. Many companies adopt Double as the basis of their service-oriented architecture. It is so popular that it's even listed in many companies' job description as a requirement. In order to better explain what a Double is, I will try to describe it from three angles. They are Double's basic concepts, Double's user community in China, and Double's open source status today after we join the Apache Software Foundation. First, let's take a look at Double's concept. In a Double application, there are four rules. They are service provider, service consumer, service registry center, and service monitor center. On the left side of the screen, the lines to connect the different rules have two colors. One is white and the other is blue. The white line represents the deployment time, including step one, expose, step two, register, step three, subscribe. And the blue line represents runtime, which includes step four, notify, step five, invoke, and step six, count. Let's take a look at what happens in deployment time. Basically, it's all about service discovery and service registration. When a service provider starts up, it exposes its service on one particular pod, and then registers its service info, basically including service address and service port, onto the registry center. And it on the other side, the service consumer starts up and connects to the register center as well to subscribe for the service info so that it can get notified for any change on the services it's interested. At runtime, the service consumer selects one address from the address list it receives from the registry center and files an invocation to the remote target. And at the same time, both service consumer and the service provider reports its running statistics onto the monitor center. This is basically how Double works, and it works quite similarly as many other RPC frameworks today. What makes Double different is Double is not only an RPC framework. It also has rich service governance functionalities built in. With Double, you can use a different registry center for service discovery, select the different strategies for load balancing, routing, and fault tolerance. And furthermore, thanks for Double's extension mechanism, these functions can also be customized by user if the building is do not meet the need. Alibaba is the first company in China who adopt the service-oriented architecture. And Double is one of the cornerstones in this effort. Back to the time when Double was open sourced, there was no much choice as mature as Double was. Therefore, other companies started to adopt Double as we did when they switched to the service-oriented architecture. Because of this, Double gets popular and popular in China. Someone even comments that Double is China's gRPC. The data I show here is the user visits on Double's homepage for 2 months, from July to August in this year. Since we host Double's documentation and blogs on the homepage, we can roughly estimate how Double users spread in the world. Here we notice that there are 87% users coming from China and only 13% from the other countries. And in China, most of users concentrate in 3 areas. The first one is Beijing, our capital. The second is the Yangtze River Delta region, which includes cities Shanghai, Nanjing, and Hangzhou. And the last is the Pearl River Delta region, which includes both Guangzhou and Shenzhen. From the figures, this is not surprising result, since most of the internet companies and the startup companies in China have their offices set up in these 3 areas. And from the figures I show here, there is one noticeable fact. Double is very popular in China, but outside China, only a few know Double, many from United States and Japan. And this is the reason we decided to put Double under the governance of the Apache Software Foundation. By doing this, we hope we can grow Double's community even stronger. Next, I'd like to briefly report the current open source status of Double with a few figures. Since we started incubating Double in Apache in February this year, now we have 21K stars, 15K forks, 128 contributors in total, and 16 committers from the different companies. And now, Apache Double is ranked the 10th in Java projects on GitHub, and its stars has been increased by 120% since we joined Apache. This is a stunning result even we ourselves did not expect compared to the data 1 year before. I think it's all contributed to the fact that Double is no longer owned by Alibaba individually. Instead, it belongs to the Apache Foundation and the whole community. This sends a clear message to Double users that Double will have a better future and they can be able to involve more. And we hope this message can be delivered to the whole world. So after introduce what Double is, now let's take a look at how to develop a Double application. Double can run with any Java stack, from a Tomcat server to a Spring container. It can even be able to start from a simple main method. And what we show here is to run Double with Spring Boot. The quickest way to try Double out is to visit an online service, start.double.io, to generate the, a double project. Its web interface is shown on the right side of the screen. Looks quite similarly as Spring Initializer. In fact, it's forked from Spring Initializer, but with double support added. We call it Double Spring Initializer. I will elaborate on this later. We also have IDE support to generate the Spring Boot-based double project directly from IntelliJ IDEA. To install it, simply search the keyword double from IntelliJ's plugin repository. With the right tool equipped, now you can dive deep into Double's documentation to learn more. And I suggest you start right from the Quick Start chapter, where you can have the better understanding on the code a Double Initializer generates. We provide a user manual where you can learn Double features, a developer guide where you can learn how to extend the Double, and the administration book where you can learn how to monitor and control your Double application. Besides the doc, we also provide a sample project to demonstrate Double's features from basic to advanced. It is worth it to cross-reference it when you study Double's documentation. And here we can say we provide useful development tools, rich set of documentations, and good samples to help user to learn Double better. Now, let's take a closer look into the Double Initializer and focus on using it to develop a Double application. And as I mentioned, this project is based on Spring Initializer. Compared to running a scaffold tool under the command line like Maven Artifact Generator, we are more attracted to the ideas Spring Initializer introduces. It is much easier to generate a project skeleton by only a few clicks rather than to remember a complex command. Based on Spring Initializer's codebase, we add Double specific support. And take a look at the right side of the screen. First of all, Double Initializer can generate the project for both Double Server and Double Client. And furthermore, the corresponding Double code has already been generated and is ready to run. And in order to help on development experience, we also add more options to include embedded zookeeper support, Spring Boot endpoint support, and Double QS service support. We will get to the details of Spring Boot endpoint and Double QS service later. After click the generate project button, the sample project will be downloaded. I will show you how simple it is to develop a Double application with this tool. First, I'll show you the server code, then the client code. And this is Double's server code. In a Double server project, typically it contains both a service interface class together with its implementation. In this example, the interface is helloservice.java, and the implementation is helloserviceinfo.java. And since this is a Spring Boot-based project, all Double's configuration can be defined either with the annotation or with the Java config. And as we all know, these configurations can be overridden in application.properties as well. So first, we put the annotation service on the hello service info to declare it as a Double service. And then in application.properties, we give this application a name, ask Spring Boot to scan Double relevant annotation under the package com.example. And then specify a registry center for the double service. In this case, it is an embedded zookeeper server running inside the same server distance. And last, we enable Spring Boot endpoints for this application, from which we could easily access all double relevant information at runtime. The structure of the client code is similar as the server code, but it is even simpler. Because on the client side, only an interface class is required in order to make the remote call to happen. So this is the client code. First, we need to configure double client in the application.properties as what we did for the server just now, including give the application a name, ask Spring Boot to scan annotation for us, and specify a registry center to connect, and so on. And besides this, what else we need to do is to use a service interface class to make the remote call. Let's take client application.java as an example. First, we need to declare a hello service instance with the name demo service, and then put the annotation reference on this instance and to declare it as a reference to the remote double service we plan to call. And after that, we can call hello service method somewhere else. In this case, we call hello service say hello in the post construct method. If everything works fine, the result will be received from the server side, and the hello world will be printed on the screen. So we talked about how to use an online service, start.double.io, to generate a double application in lightning speed. With the same tool, we also offer the user some DevOps functions to help them to monitor and control their double application. If double runs with Spring Boot, a couple of double relevant endpoints are available to access. First of all, we can use the endpoint /double to get all available double endpoints. IntelliJ has a nice Spring Boot integration. From the left corner of the screen, we could see a complete list of double endpoints, including /double/configs/double/properties/double/references and /double/services and so on. And from the middle screen, the middle screenshot shows, we also include a double service health condition into Spring Boot's health endpoint so that it is easy for us to know whether a double service is ready to serve. And from the right side of the screenshot, we can use the /double/services to access all the details of every double service we provide. There are more endpoints provided, but I do not plan to go through them all. Here, I'd like to bring up one question you may ask. Spring Boot endpoints is quite convenient for user to monitor and control the application, but what if Spring Boot is not used? In this case, Double provides an alternative way which serves a similar purpose when Spring Boot is unavailable. And since it is a built-in component, it's available in any kind of Java application, including Spring Boot as well. We call it a double QoS service. Double QoS service can be accessed with both HTTP and Telnet. And here on the left, it shows how to access this service with Telnet. And it also demonstrates two key functionalities WQS service provides. The first is we can list all the services the current instance provides and consumes. And the second is we can online and offline one service at any time without starting up or shutting down the application. Right now, only a few functions are provided in this service, and we plan to add more to include functions such as tracing a service, counting services statistics, and invoking a service for test purpose.
I can use SSH instead of Telnet.
Just a simple Telnet.
Oh, really?
Yes. We haven't considered the security for now, but maybe we can add this later. So as I mentioned, Double is very popular in China, adopting by many companies in China as a basis of their service-oriented architecture is one reason. Incubating in Apache is another reason. And I think the third reason contributes to Double's easy to extend design. I will explain what Double Extension Loader can do, and then show you how to extend a filter with Extension Loader after that. So Double is a RPC framework designed to easy to extend from the very beginning. To achieve this goal, Double has a simple yet powerful IOC container together with a rich set of SPI interfaces defined in each layer. With the provided SPI, you can easily customize the functions, including transporting, serialization, protocol, load balancing, routing, fault tolerance, registry, and config. If you look at the right side of the screen, you may find Double Extension Loader looks quite similarly as Java's Service Loader. They both have SPI interface for extending, have SPI config file to define all the implementations, and have API to fetch the implementation at runtime. What makes Double Extension Loader different is Double Extension Loader have four concepts Java Service Loader lacks. The first one is every Double Extension have a name to associate. With this, Double Extension Loader can inject the extension by name. And at the same time, if a name is specified on the SPI annotation, so take a look at the right side of screen. We have a SPI with a random load balance specified in the annotation. If a name is specified in the SPI annotation, then the extension with the same name will be treated as the default extension. That is, when an extension is required at runtime, but there is no name given, this default extension will be used. So in the other word, it becomes from injecting by name to injecting by type. The second is Java Extension Loader has a simple AOP concept. If an extension has one copy constructor declared, Extension Loader can inject other extension with the same type into the current extension so that user has the chance to use the decorator pattern to wrap the actual logic around the extension instance passed in. We call this kind of extension a wrapper extension. Third, extension loader can inject the extension, the different extension instance on condition at runtime. If adaptive annotation is declared on the method of the SPI interface, then extension loader can inject the different extension instance based on different method parameter at runtime. And last, extension loader can return a list of extension instances. But unlike Java Service Loader, it will not return all available implementations. Instead, it will order and filter these implementations before returning them. Every SPI's implementation can have an activate annotation defined on it. You can specify the ordering rule and filtering criteria in it. I will show you how activate annotation works in the filter example I'm about to show. So here I will show you how to add a new filter into Double's filter chain with the extension loader we discussed just now. This particular filter runs on the client side, and what it does is to send a trace ID from the client side to the server side. So in order to make sure this filter runs, takes effect only on the client side, we put the activate annotation on this filter and specify its group to the consumer only. Since there is a filtering criteria present on this filter will not be picked up by the provider, even if it's packaged into the provider by mistake. This filter can run on the client only. And in order to let double extension loader to discover it, we define a key value pair in the SPI's configuration file for this filter. We give the key a name, trace ID filter, and give the value this filter's full class name. So that's it. Every time before the client calls the remote service, this filter will be executed first. This filter will put a unique trace ID into the RPC context and send it to the server. And on the server side, this trace ID can be fetched from the context and used for logging and tracing purpose. So I will hand over the speak to my colleague Jun. He will show you how to develop a double application for both server and client, and then show you how to extend the filter we discussed just now. So welcome, Jun.
Okay, I will continue. My name is Liu Jun, and I'm also a maintainer of the Double project, and I'm also working at Alibaba as a software engineer. And thanks. Yeah, that's a great presentation you have made on Double's basic introduction. And I think most of you sitting here should already have a basic understanding of what Double is and how it works. To learn more about Double, let's get into the demo time. And with this simple demo, I will show you how to develop a Double provider, which is the server side, and how to develop a Double consumer, which is the client side, and a more advanced, how to extend Double using Double's SPI extension point. And this demo shown here is what I'm going to show you today. It's a Spring Boot driven project, and we've got three modules here, two consumer modules and one provider module. Now let's start by scanning the code of the provider side. The first and most important to notice is the service definition called Hello Service. And next to it is the implementation class. And if you take a closer look at them, you will find that they are just normal and standard Java interface and class, nothing special, except for this place, this little annotation. It is this annotation that turns an ordinary Java interface and class into a remote Java service. And next is I will show you the configuration file. All configuration items of Java in this project are stored in this file, application.properties, following the convention of Spring Boot projects. And we can see that all Java configuration items are stored with start with the prefix Java. And we can also see that we specified the application name, the registry address, and some QoS things. And we will take a closer look at how registry and QoS works later. These are pretty much the things we need to do to develop a Java provider. The consumer side is quite similar to the provider, but even simpler. We also need a service definition here, but no service implementation because it exists on the provider side. And we also need a configuration file, also named application.properties. But this time in the file, we only need to specify the application name and the registry address. We should notice that the registry address should be the same with the one we used on the provider side, because the consumer will rely on this registry address to find all the possible providers it may consume in the future. And that's all about the provider and consumer side code. And I think we are ready to run these modules. First, I will start the provider process. And it seems to have started. Now I have to check if everything is fine. And this is the port used by the Java protocol by default. And we can see that it's in listen state, so no problem. And the next thing to check is about service discovery. We need to make sure that the hello service info has been registered to the registry. And in this demo, we used Zookeeper. And I have connected to the Zookeeper server in advance, and it should be stored in this path, double the full name of hello service. Full name hello service and provider. We can see that it is stored in this exact path, so the provider works fine. This encoded URL, we can see that it mainly consists of three paths. The first part, a double protocol identifier. And following this part is the endpoint address. And the rest is all about the service metadata info of this provider instance. Now I will continue to start a provider process. And now from the logs keep outputting, we can tell this consumer has started successfully, and the remote call it made has been successful. And the provider instance is also outputting logs, so they are communicating with each other. And you may still remember that my colleague Ian has mentioned that Double provides QoS service for users to monitor their service instances. And now we will take a look at how it works. But here in this demo, I will only show the telnet part. So this is the port 52 in a row, is the default port used by Double. And now we have we connect to this port. We can type help for how to use, and we have three basic commands list, offline, and online. We can use list to list all the available services in the registry. And we should notice that in reality, one instance often works as a consumer and a provider at the same time. But in this demo, all instances only place one role. So for this instance, this part is empty. And we only have a service that provide exported to provide a service. And look at the last column. It shows the status of this hello service in registry. And the value yes means it is available now. And before I can show you how online and offline works, I need to start a new provider instance. And now we have two provider instances, this instance and this one. And we can see that the traffic has been distributed across these two instances. Now I will try to offline the hello service in one of the instances. We can see that the status has changed to not available. And now we can see the traffic in this instance has stopped. All traffic has been transferred to this node, to this instance. Now I will try to online this service. And its status is available again. And the traffic should be back. Now the traffic is back. So this is how online and offline commands works. And I have showed you all the available telnet commands at present. And more telnet commands, more new telnet commands are expected to come in from the community soon. After telnet, for the last part of the demo, I want to show you how Double's SPI extension point works. And to better explain the trace filter, this trace filter mentioned in the presentation, I will try to show you how to develop an extension of the filter SPI. The steps is quite simple. First, we need to provide a Java class that implements the filter interface, the filter SPI interface. And next, secondly, we need to register this extension to the class path. To the Java class path, and trace filter here is registered to this file, mapping to a name mind trace. And finally, before this extension can work, we need to tell the Double framework to use it. And the Double provides an activity annotation to do this work. Now I need to close this normal consumer instance and start this new instance. This new instance containing the trace filter implementation, and show you how it works. Now we can see that the trace ID generated in the trace filter has been printed here. This indicates that the trace filter extension has been loaded and enabled automatically by the Double framework. And if it works fine, the trace ID should have been sent to one of the servers I have started before. And let's check. In this provider instance, we find this trace ID. It is the same with the one on the consumer side. And this is how. That's all about the demo. That's all about the demo. So I, if you want to see more details, or if you want to run this demo by your own, you can. You can find this demo. Find this demo in this demo project hosted on a GitHub organization named Double, and the link is shown here.